Well, happy Monday, Hope College. So you guys have a good weekend? I had a good weekend. We got our Christmas tree, cut it down at the farm. It was awesome. We couldn't remember where the Christmas tree, we like our Christmas tree farm because we get free tractor rides, which is a big hit with the two-year-old. So we had to go back to that Christmas tree farm, but couldn't remember where it was. But luckily, my husband has an iPhone 4S with Siri. Siri is fabulous. So we just asked Siri where the Christmas tree farm was, and Siri just took us right there. It was awesome. It made me realize how jealous I am of my husband because I don't have Siri. And I really want Siri in my life. Do you guys, raise your hand if you've got Siri on your phone. Yeah, it's awesome. Siri is awesome. I love her. You guys, one thing that I realized about myself with this whole Siri thing, Eric loves to tease me with Siri, so he'll like text people using his phone, you know, just to like bug me because I don't have it and, you know, so I'm jealous of it. One thing I've realized about Siri is Siri makes me realize how impatient I have become. I want Siri on my phone because I want to be able to text somebody right now and when I'm driving. You know, if I have a question that I want to ask, I want the answer right now. This is what Google has done to me. This is what the internet has done to me, that I have become a person who hates waiting. And Siri makes it possible for me to never have to wait. It's fabulous. I wonder, though, what that has done to me as a disciple. And I think about the text that we just read from Isaiah, that unto us a child has been born. This was a text that Isaiah wrote to a people who were in the midst of waiting. And I think I would have been a frustrating member of the faithful for Isaiah because I do not like to wait. The context of these hopeful words, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The context of that is not a hopeful context. In fact, Israel was going through a very unhopeful, a very dark time. And the part that we don't read at Christmas time from Isaiah, the context of this, is Isaiah crying out to the king to say, please, your plan is wrong. It's going to end up in deep despair and destruction and darkness. You need to change course. And it is Isaiah crying out to God to say, please, God, fix this. Come down. This is too dark. The destruction will be too much. In the midst of all of this darkness, we read these words of hope. It's weird that all of a sudden, to a people waiting for imminent doom, that Isaiah says to them, be hopeful, for unto us a child is born. Out of the depths of oppression and war and separation from God, this was the darkest place that Isaiah could imagine. He begins to talk about hope. He says, there is a wonderful counselor who is coming to us. What does this mean, wonderful counselor? I'm a person who has been in a relationship with a counselor before. Maybe some of you have had that before too. And so it would be easy for me to think that a counselor, if God is our wonderful counselor, it means that God is a good listener. God is the kind of God who listens to our problem and maybe offers some good advice from time to time. And I think that this is true. God does listen to our problems, absolutely. But that's not what Isaiah meant, because back in the day, when Isaiah wrote this, there weren't people who you could pay $80 an hour to listen to your problems. This was a different kind of counselor. So the kind of counselor Isaiah was probably talking about was the kind of counselor who would have sat with the king. This is a person who was wise and could look into the past, could discern what was going to happen in the future, and could say, you know what, here's the plan. I'm going to counsel you on what the plan should be. That's what a counselor would have been. And Isaiah says, no, this child will be a wonderful counselor. Wonderful in Hebrew, it doesn't just mean really great, like we use it. It wasn't just a really great person with a plan, or a person with a really great plan. It was wonderful meant beyond our comprehension. Or it could mean difficult to understand. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but in some ways I wonder if wonderful counselor might mean that this is a child who has been born, who has a plan that we can't understand. And I wonder if some of you are maybe in that place right now, that you feel like you are in the middle of a plan that you can't understand. Isaiah was saying to his people, look, I know it's bad, but wait for it. Wait for the hope that you will soon see, because this is a plan that's mysterious, but it's wonderful, and it is full of hope. We have been given a child who is a wonderful counselor, a plan that you may not be able to understand. Now, I would have been a bad audience for Isaiah, because when I'm in the middle of darkness and crisis, I don't want to wait for my hope. I want it right now. Sometimes in our lives, there is a painful disconnect between the thing that we are praying for the most and what we are actually experiencing. And I think this is what is happening in Isaiah, this light, hope-filled part in the midst of all of this darkness that Isaiah is describing. When we are in the middle of a plan that we do not understand, our best prayers are often the prayers of begging. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those begging prayers that we can do. We beg God. We beg God to intervene in Egypt and in Syria. We beg God for a cure for HIV and AIDS. We beg God that our parents could get back together. We beg God that we could get back together with the one that we broke up with. We beg God that we can get through exams. Or we beg God that we can find someone who understands us. We beg God that that person in our life would get sober. Or we beg God that we could stop feeling so much despair. I don't know what you're begging God for in your life, but I know what it's like to beg God. Lord, wake up, we say. Come down. Save us. Our begging prayers are faithful prayers, but during Advent, we have a new face of the prayer of begging, because we remind ourselves when we're in the midst of those prayers that God is not like Siri. We know that as people of the good news, as people who believe in the gospel, that the gospel does not promise us answers to all of our questions right now. The gospel doesn't mean that we get to see the plan. Following Jesus, following the wonderful counselor, doesn't always mean that we are going to get the right steps, that we are going to get to see what's next, that we have a roadmap to what is good and bright in our future. It doesn't mean that all of our prayers are going to get answered right away in the way that we want, or even in ways that we can necessarily see. In Advent, we beg and we wait. Instead, during Advent, God does meet us, but God meets us with a way to live even when we don't have the answers. God offers us a way to live amidst the problems even when they don't disappear. Advent reminds us that sometimes we've just got to wait it out. We've got to believe that God will act in God's own time and in God's own way, and for God's own reasons, and it is hard. You know, in the time that Jesus was born, there were a lot of good, faithful people, people of Israel, who wanted a king, a powerful leader, because they were living under an oppressive kingdom of Rome. They were begging God for a powerful leader who could save them, and God answered their prayers, but not in the way that they could necessarily understand. See, God had a plan, but it was not a plan of military might. It was a plan of a child born in a barn. Our wonderful counselor, the one with the plan that we don't always understand. The word wonderful, the same word, it shows up in the Bible, in the Old Testament a lot. The same word shows up in my favorite psalm, Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, we are reminded of a God who knows us well. Listen to these words that the psalmist says. In fact, close your eyes and hear God speaking this to you. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is hard to understand a God who has a plan that is bigger than us, and yet who knows us and who goes with us, who hems us in behind and before, our past and our future. So we wait during this Advent season. Some of us are begging for our prayers to be answered. We are begging for God's plan to make some kind of sense for us. We are begging for God to intervene. My prayer for all of us is that we might remember that this knowledge is too wonderful for us, this plan that we can't understand. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace.